This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. I had the great pleasure of listening to a speech by Jennifer Rizzo Choi at the Amherst South Rotary Club. It was most informative. I have great fondness for the International Institute because I was on the board with Bill McGavern for 15 years. And we worked hard and we enjoyed it. And I have a lot of fond memories. Let me tell you a little bit about Jenny Rizzo Choi. Since September 2021, Executive Director Jennifer Rizzo Choi has successfully led the International Institute of Buffalo through significant changes in response to global events. First, humanitarian crises, including those in Ukraine and Afghanistan, drove more clients to the organization than ever before and regularly put the International Institute's mission and services in the headlines. Now the ground shifts daily with the arrival of a new presidential administration altering the legal and policy landscape. Ms. Rizzo Choi's experiences as a refugee and asylum law expert, combined with her background as a former TV journalist, have enabled her to navigate the changing terrain. We also have with us today Gabe DeMayo, who is the communications director who helped set up this program. So we thank you for your assistance. Let's talk about how you help immigrants in Western New York State. Jenny Rizzo Choi.
Well, thanks for having us here to talk about this. And of course, thanks for your service to the Institute Board. We've been around for over 100 years and have had lots of folks like you as leaders on our board.
I spent 15 there.
15? Yeah. It's great to, you know, be able to have this history that's tied into the fabric of our community in so many different ways. The Institute's been around for over a century. So if your family arrived in Buffalo as a foreign-born individual, as an immigrant, as a refugee, we probably helped you in some way. We probably offered ESL classes to your parents. We might have found your parents a job or gotten you enrolled in school as a kid. We offer a host of different services that help people integrate and get settled in because the goal here is success, you know, making people Western New Yorkers and having them contribute to our community. And so we do that through a variety of social service programs, some of which are funded by federal dollars, some by state, and some by charitable donations.
Now, Gabe mentioned before the taping about cultural activities, celebration of a culture in Western New York with the International Institute. Let's talk about some of your cultural activities. Jenny Rizzo Choi.
Absolutely. You know, all those folks that have come here and made Western New York home want a place to be able to remember their culture and celebrate it. And so we're not only a place that welcomes them, but we also... we have a building that we often host celebrations in. We've been the place that you could go to learn Arabic or German or French classes. We have hosted different dancing lessons. Just a couple days ago, we hosted a celebration called Buffalo Without Borders Backyard Edition, where we had cultural dancers from the Chinese Club of Western New York, the Karen Association, and we had a Peruvian salsa lesson, and we had a bunch of different international cuisines, and people could come and learn more about the various cultures that are all here in Western New York. That's the great part about us being an immigrant town, and the fact that we've been so for so long, is that we've got so many great traditions here. If you think about some of the more established communities, they now have festivals every summer, right? The Greek festival, you know, Oktoberfest with the Germans, the Puerto Rican festival. We now have those festivals that people get to enjoy, but as newcomer populations come, they look to sort of get set, like established, and we oftentimes help them with hosting of those celebrations.
Very good. Now, if someone is listening in Cheektowaga or Toronto or Washington, D.C., and they'd like to help you with your efforts with immigrants and refugees, how should they make a donation, send a check? What's the process?
Absolutely. It's easy to do it. You can go on our website, www.iibuffalo.org. You can click on the support tab, and that'll bring you up to a page where you can actually donate by credit card. You're welcome to mail in a check. We do have some companies that will match a donation, you know, so if you make a contribution through your paycheck, for instance, your employer will match. And then there's other ways you can get involved, too. You can volunteer. We have had a reduction in force recently due to some of the federal funding cuts, and so we're relying on volunteers more than ever to fulfill roles. So if you're interested in mentoring a refugee, lending some of your professional skills by coming and giving a talk at our job club, for instance, you know, there are things you can do to help us with, like soliciting donations, like backpack supplies for kids going back to school. Those are all opportunities, and that information is also on our website.
Now, about refugees. We're concerned when refugees come from the Ukraine, from Africa, from the Middle East. Let's talk about how you help them, how you assimilate them into Western New York society. Let's talk about the refugees, please.
Absolutely. And I like to really talk about that word refugee, too, because it means different things to different people. I think, you know, the general connotation is someone who has fled their country. But there's also a legal framework that goes into being a refugee. And if you're coming to the United States through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program, you actually have gone through a lot of years of vetting and waiting in line before you are allowed in. The Institute is one of many resettlement agencies around the country that receive federal funding through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. And so we know when someone is coming here because the government is actually sending them. They've gone through security clearances, health clearances, and of course their story and their legal screening had to match to be able to be granted that status. That is different than other groups of people who may have come here and not have been able to go through that process, and then they're applying for something called asylum, where they have to go through the court system and wait to get a determination. So someone who's come in as a resettlement refugee would qualify for the full host of support services that the Institute provides that's federally and state funded, so because they have a legal permanent status here. So they get assigned a caseworker. We know that they're coming. We will show up at the airport when their flight is arriving and pick them up and take them to an apartment that we have rented for them and we have already outfitted and set up. We have shopped for them, and there is, you know, food staples in there. And then we work with them to learn how to use the bus, to get them set up with a bank account, to get them some type of New York State ID. We train them on how to use the bus to get to your kid's school or to your first job interview or to the food bank. All those things about getting settled in and integrating, especially as they are learning the English language.
And how are the needs different from these different cultures and areas of the world? Someone coming in from the Middle East or the Ukraine or Africa, how are their needs different from these different cultural backgrounds?
A lot of it depends on the nature of the conflict that came out of their country, because that will somewhat determine how long their refugee journey has taken. You know, we find people who are professionals who were running businesses or were lawyers or professors, and, you know, their lives were interrupted by conflict, and then they may have spent 3, 4, you know, even 10 years in a refugee camp. So it depends on sort of like what happened before they became a refugee. You may find with folks coming from Africa, they waited a long time for resettlement, and they may have spent on average 10 years in a refugee camp versus some of the folks coming from Middle Eastern countries, their average wait is usually like 3 to 5 years. So, you know, time away from the job space and from using your professional skills does impact somebody and their ability to sort of reintegrate. And we work with them to assess what skills they have or what skills they have picked up. There are people who may be very good at sewing or light industrial type activities, right? And they're able to then parlay that into a job here. And English isn't necessarily the most important skill because it's a routine activity, and they can learn that while they continue to go to ESL class.
Very good. We're learning a great deal about a hidden gem in Western New York. The International Institute of Buffalo serves so many immigrants and refugees so nicely for the past century. Our guest today is Jenny Rizzo Choi, Executive Director, and she also has with her their Communications Director, Gabe DeMeo. If you're listening in West Seneca or Montreal or Northern Florida to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14. 226. I'd like to thank those who called regarding our recent guests, Ambassador Carla Sands, John Kotsimatidis, who owns the 400 quick fill gas stations, and Eddie Dobusevich, who was the coordinator of the Cheektowaga Polish American Festival. Coming up, we're going to have Mayor of Bracebridge, Ontario, Rick Maloney, and Sheriff John Garcia on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Little plug here. Summer is a time for the three R's: rest, relaxation, and reading. Enjoy your summer and get your copy of the Ampol Eagle on your digital device, whether at home or traveling around the world. News, historic, and cultural features from the Polish-American perspective can be found to your email inbox each week for less than 40 cents a week. The Ampol Eagle is offering a hot deal, $19 for 52 issues. Go online at Ampol Eagle to subscribe or call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. Don't miss out on what's happening in Poland or Polonia. Get your digital Ampol Eagle today. A little bit more information about Jennifer Rizzo Choi, Executive Director of the International Institute. Prior to joining as its Executive Director, she served on the Board of Directors for 6 years. She previously served as the Executive Director of the Pro Bono Project in New Orleans, Louisiana's largest pro bono legal services organization, and as National Pro Bono Counsel at Human Rights First in Washington, D.C., which is a flagship organization that works at the forefront of international and national refugee law and policy. At the beginning of her legal career, Jennifer Rizzo Choi served as legal director at Journeys End Refugee Services, where she founded its Immigration Legal Services Program. 100 years, that's a rich history for the International Institute. Let's talk about the significance of this. Jenny Rizzo Choi.
It's an amazing milestone to achieve in a community, but we're grateful that the public continues to support us. We hit our 100-year birthday in 2018. We did a big centennial celebration back then. I was on the board. We're keeping going, and you know, I do feel the weight of the fact that I hope that we're around for another 100 years. We seem to continue as a community welcoming newcomers from all over. Buffalo has affordable housing. It has a lot of available jobs. There's a place for people to come and settle in and make this their home. It's a welcoming community. So I hope that the Institute can continue to be a part of that story that people have.
Now, the International Institute of Buffalo helps people regardless of what religion or ethnicity they come from. Let's talk about that, how you help everybody and you do not pick and choose.
Yep, this is not a geopolitical space to make decisions or choices. We are neutral. The refugees that come to us through the federal program I talked about, that's decided by the federal government which populations are allowed in. So that's not a determination that we make. We serve whoever's in front of us. In terms of people who reach out and look for help, while they may not qualify for some of the formalized programming, we still do offer other services. We hold a periodic client giveaway where people can come and pick up household items. We connect people to services if they're looking for food banks or other services where there is no income screening or legal status screening. So we are a place to try to help people as best we can, although I think an important distinction is as people are in the space of trying to understand what is going on in the immigration space, and it is somewhat controversial, people do need to understand that the formalized programs that exist that come through federal and state funding, you know, you have to have a legal status to be able to receive any of those services and receive any of those government funds.
So these are all people who come to the United States legally.
Yes, those are resettlement refugees or people who are in another category. Like, for instance, the Biden administration brought people in on parole programs that were temporary, like TPS or humanitarian parole. Ukrainians and Afghans were brought in on those programs. Those were all considered legal refugees or legal immigrants who were here. And there are, of course, people who go throughout their journey and they eventually get their green card, and that's another permanent legal status. So to qualify for those services, you would need to have that status.
Again, if somebody would like to write a check or put a donation on their credit card for the noble efforts of the International Institute of Buffalo for immigrants and refugees, how do they do that?
They can go to our website, www.iibuffalo.org, and make a donation via credit card. There's also information on how to mail in a check. You know, we're happy to take money in any which way people are willing to pledge. We also have sort of set up a way for people to do long-term estate giving as well, or through your employer paycheck. So we appreciate if people think of us that way. It helps us to fill in the pieces on things that are not covered by federal and state money and be able to help people out.
And again, Jenny Rizzo Choi gave an excellent presentation at the Amherst South Rotary Club about the International Institute. Let's talk about your history of helping refugees in need in the last 100 years. Let's talk about that.
Well, we've had, I mean, a lot of progress if you think about 100 years of welcoming people in. 1980 was when the Refugee Act was put into place, and that's when the more formalized chain of people were coming, where that was set by the government every year. It's been up until recently that resettlement refugees were let in every year with a determination by the president. And unfortunately, due to some of the changes with the Trump administration, there was a suspension put on the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program dating back to January and inauguration. And so we have not had any arrivals since then. I was in D.C. just a few weeks ago at meetings. And we are waiting to see what happens with this year's presidential determination of how many refugees would be allowed in. Last year, before Biden left office, the ceiling was set at 125,000. This year, there are rumors that the Trump administration may set it at 40,000, which is a lower number, but it's still larger than I had anticipated. You know, if you look at that big number, then there's going to be a small percentage of it that's going to come to Buffalo. On average, in the last few years, Buffalo, between the four agencies that welcome in resettlement, we've been averaging anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 resettlement or refugees coming in every year. So that's a serious flow. When you look at the census that was last done in 2020, it showed that Erie County and Buffalo as a city had population growth for the first time in over 50 years, and it was attributed to the foreign-born. 10% of the city of Buffalo now is foreign-born. 7.8% of Erie County is foreign-born. So, you know, if you think about the fact that resettlement refugees as a pipeline for the last 20 years that have been coming from, let's say, even 1,000 to 2,000 people on average, okay, between big years and small years, that's a significant impact. You know, that's going to change the way that our community looks in a good way. We've now got sizable landed populations. The Burmese population alone is estimated to be about 10,000 people living in Western New York.
Well, I'm a son of immigrants. My parents emigrated through Ellis Island in 1946 from Poland. So I know the goodness that the International Institute provides for many immigrants and refugees. For those who have just tuned in, we're speaking with Jennifer Rizzo Choi, Executive Director of the International Institute of Buffalo, that does so much good work to settle immigrants and refugees in the Buffalo area. A little bit more information about her. A West Seneca native, Jennifer Rizzo Choi earned her MBA from MIT Sloan School of Management and her Juris Doctor from the University at Buffalo Law School, where she now teaches refugee and asylum law as an adjunct professor. Ms. Rizzo Choi serves on the board of advisors of the New York State Institute on Immigrants, Integration, Research, and Policy, which was launched by the governor in 2023. Our guest today, Executive Director of the International Institute of Buffalo, Jennifer Rizzo Choi. Let's talk about some of your success stories of immigrants and refugees who you have helped at the International Institute, if it's jobs or community service. Let's talk about some of these.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than having a client that comes back to tell us that you know, something has happened in their life that has made a life-changing difference. I mean, we have people show up all the time that are super proud to see their child has graduated from high school. That's the first in their family to do so, or they got their first job, or they bought their first home. We've seen clients that have started businesses that are homeowners and run rental properties in Buffalo. I mean, these are all like, you know, small moments in someone's life, but you have to understand what was taken away from them and that they had to start all over again, similar to, I'm sure, what your family experienced when they came here from Poland. And that's really the core of this, is that, you know, bringing in refugees and bringing in immigrants and helping them resettle, that really should not be a political issue, because it actually shows that there's a great economic impact that benefits not just our community, but the overall country from bringing in folks. You know, we've been able to fill lots of jobs here for employers because there are refugees who are willing to take those jobs. Even if they don't know English on day one, they are willing to show up on time, work hard, and learn what they need to know. It has certainly helped local manufacturers who've been able to offer second and third shifts to be able to continue to be competitive in the market. You know, from the side of diversity, we've talked about just all the different festivals and the food and the culture that we now have, that you don't have to travel the world. You can easily just, you know, dine around the world in Buffalo alone based on all of these different cultures here. But, you know, for those who may not be convinced, you know, I would say that there's an economic argument here as well. The U.S. Department of HHS, Health and Human Services, did a study over a 15-year period looking at the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program to say, you know, what expense does this bring to Americans? And they looked at all the money that's been given to people and welfare and to agencies like ours to help set them up. And they looked at that, and then they measured the economic output. And what they found was that in a 15-year period, over 3 million people that have been brought in had contributed to the U.S. economy for a net fiscal benefit of $124 billion.
That's a lot of money.
So there wasn't a loss of money. Yes, money was put in to help them, but in the end, they far exerted and created an output far beyond it. So, you know, when we have jobs that need to be done, who is going to do those jobs? Well, these newcomers are willing to do it because they're willing to work hard and rebuild their lives.
A very wonderful effort, giving these people a second chance here in the Buffalo, New York area, the International Institute of Buffalo. Now, you were celebrating the Erie Canal Centennial with the International Institute. What was that all about, your collaboration with the Erie Canal?
It's 200 years that the Erie Canal was built, which is kind of amazing that it's been that long. But, you know, that was an economic powerhouse for our region back in the day, right? And it's continued to have a ripple effect. And we were very honored when the Erie County Historical Commission asked us to be involved. You know, they recognized the fact that the canal was built by immigrants. It was built by German immigrants primarily, and they wanted to make sure that, that part of history was remembered as well. Because if you look at a lot of these great buildings and the architecture that has built our great city, I mean, we have some of the architectural gems of the country, right?
Right,
right here in Buffalo. All those buildings were built by immigrants. They were built by all this skilled labor that we benefited from coming from Europe, right? And all that woodworking and expertise, and it came back here and built these things. And so part of our exhibit down at the canal was to remind people that immigration played a big part of the Erie Canal experience. We're coming up next year, Brian, on 250 years of the birth of America. And we want to make sure that that's part of the story, too, because America was founded by immigrants, a lot of whom decided to flee King George and didn't like what was going on over in Europe, and they built a new start here. So remembering and telling those stories is, I think, important, not just for kids in school, but for all of us adults in the community to remember how we got started. What is the origin story, right? And so the Institute hopes to be part of that as well, you know, because wherever you think about the beginning, somebody had to come here to start it.
We all need a second chance and a new start in life continuously. Let's talk again about donations. If somebody wants to send a check for the Help for Immigrants and Refugees of the International Institute of Buffalo, tell us how.
You can go to our website, www.iibuffalo.org. I also want to mention that we have a fundraiser coming up in October.
Please.
And that's a way that people could possibly get involved if they're interested. So it is an event called the Refugees of Comedy. We are very lucky that one of our success stories is a client that we resettled from Vietnam as a kid, and he and his family are from Cheektowaga. He's made it big and successful in Los Angeles. He works at the Laugh Factory and does morning drive radio out in L.A., and he comes back every year to do this benefit. He is a stand-up comedian, so he is a refugee, and a lot of his humor is based on the integration journey and process of things that you have to adapt to when you're now living in America. He brings with him a couple of comedian friends every year. This year we have a comedian, we have someone with a Chinese background and someone with a British background. And so we'll have three comedians on stage. We host this on October 14th, 15th. Gabe is nodding for me. October 15th this year.
And where's the location and the time and the cost?
It will begin at 6 p.m. Wednesday, October 15th. The Refugees of Comedy will be held at WNED Studios.
Buffalo Toronto Public Media, they call themselves. Good. These days.
Yes. This will be the third year we're going to be at that location. And sponsorships will go on sale live likely next week on our website, as well as tickets. Last year, so every year we've held this, we've actually sold more tickets. Last year we sold out at 250 seats. This year we're trying to work around a way that we can sell even more and have a bigger space in place.
And so, what is the cost per person or table?
We're still working that out, but tickets are going to be around $100, I think. Sponsorships will probably range anywhere from about $2,500 to last year our platinum sponsor was at $15,000. Depending on your sponsorship level, you get a certain number of tickets and access. And it's a great night. We have a lot of international food as well, so you get to dine well for the evening. We have usually some ethnic vendors selling goods and wares, and of course the comedy is a great night. There's free parking at that location, and everybody loves it, and it usually sells out in advance. So
we urge all of our listeners to support this fundraiser for the International Institute of Buffalo. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past 20 years. And thank you to Gabe DeMeo for arranging this with our guest, Jennifer Rizzo Choi, Executive Director of the International Institute. And we urge all of our listeners to give and give generously to help the immigrants and refugees they service. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.